Well, the former Mayor of Greater Manchester, Andy Burnham, will be sworn in as the MP for Makerfield at the House of Commons tomorrow. But the biggest question in UK politics now is how long till he's sworn in as Labour's new Prime Minister. Burnham had a massive personal victory in the Makerfield by-election this week, winning almost 55% of the vote, 20% more than the next candidate, who was from Reform UK. Joining us now live from London is Emily Maitlis, co-host of the Daily News and Politics podcast, The News Agents. Emily, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Absolute pleasure to be with you.
Now, after the last episode of The News Agents, you flagged there may be the need for another emergency episode before Monday. That hasn't quite happened yet, but what signs are there now of movements against Keir Starmer?
We're not going to bed for a while. I mean, this is going to be a complicated weekend, I think, because it feels like after a fairly slow Friday where people were just putting the jigsaw pieces together after that long night and long wait in Makerfield for the results that Burnham absolutely trounced, I think things are starting to move pretty quickly now. You will know that privately, Keir Starmer is starting to voice doubts about his own position that he hasn't so far made public. But from what we understand, he's now preparing to set out some kind of timetable for his departure from number 10 this week. So what happens? Andy Burnham comes to Westminster on Monday. He gets sworn in on Monday. And then my sense is that Keir Starmer will probably want to play for a long leave, as long a period as he can before Andy Burnham takes over. And I think those around Andy Burnham are pressing for something to happen much more quickly. And so at this point, we basically wait to see if there is going to be another challenger. Is anyone else going to come into the contest? Or all those people that said that they would come into the contest if Keir Starmer didn't, are they really up for a fight against Andy Burnham? I'm not sure that's still there.
Yeah, running against Andy Burnham doesn't seem to be a very smart thing to do for anyone at the moment. It's interesting, though, that you've described, Emily, a position in private from Keir Starmer, which is quite different from the tone that he was setting in the immediate aftermath of the by-election and what people understood to be his mindset. Do you have any sense of what it is that's produced that change in the Prime Minister? Has he been contacted by senior colleagues, for example, saying, come on, it's time to go?
He's been having a lot of conversations with people that he would always have thought of as his most trusted allies. And I guess the point is, at this juncture, are they saying to him what he wants to hear, or are they starting to say, well, I'm not sure there is a path for you? And what we understand is that there have been conversations in recent days with cabinet ministers, with advisors, with trade union leaders. Obviously, they will wrap up a lot of the vote and a lot of the money, and with party donors as well. And if the response he's getting from people that would once have considered themselves loyalists now is more of a kind of, I think you have to sort of, you know, plan your date, then that is the beginning of a whole new conversation. We know that Victoria, his wife, is his most trusted advisor. We understand that she has been advising him to stay, you know, not to be sort of shortchanged in this. He thinks of himself as the man who got the mandate, because 2 years ago he was given this huge majority and the chance to stay in Downing Street for 5 years. And I guess what is happening now is that there are people who he would have thought would be on his side who are no longer able to look him in the eye and say, yeah, we're with you. I hear from Labour MPs tonight that things have gone very quiet. So people who thought they would be contacted by the whips, people who thought, in other words, that they would be herded into place, are not being contacted. That they have not had a call from Starmer over the weekend. They have not had a call from Burnham over the weekend. And it feels like the centre, you know, is starting to kind of evaporate a bit, that the things that should be in place now, which is the discipline, the phone calls, the kind of, can I count on you to do this, aren't happening tonight. You know, it's Saturday night here in the UK. It's the longest night of the year just coming up. And so I guess people are sort of waiting by their phone and saying, what is my move here? What am I being told here? And the answer is nothing, right? You know, there is no discipline. There's been a sort of whip breakdown now, which I think is when it starts to look like, you know, the end is not.
Yeah, never good news for the incumbent if that's what's happening. Yeah. On Sunday Extra, yeah, we're speaking with Emily Maitlis, co-host of the News Agents Daily UK News and Politics podcast. And Emily, even if Keir Starmer does decide to bow out, there still remains the question of, as you foreshadowed, whether it's a contest or a coronation, so to speak. What are the factors in favour of, or the pros and cons of each of those processes as you see it?
Look, if you believe Andy Burnham's team tonight, they are suggesting they have the support of 201 Labour MPs. Why is that number significant? Because it represents more than 50% of the party. Mm. In other words, if you are coming in against Burnham now, you've got to have a pretty solid reason for doing it. And it's not going to be that your numbers are greater, right? So Wes Streeting had declared himself ready to run if Burnham went for the contest. I don't know that he will still feel that way if a contest is triggered next week, if he does believe that Andy Burnham's got 200 or so MPs behind him. Now, we don't know if that number is solid. We don't know if Wes Streeting came into the contest, whether some of those would back Wes instead of Wes Streeting instead of Burnham. So, I mean, these things, they're not really tangible until you've got people on a ballot, right? At the moment, people are sort of trying to work out who the runners and riders are and who where to hedge their bets. But there is a scenario in which Burnham comes to Westminster on Monday, says he wants to stand. A contest is triggered on Tuesday. They have to sort of sit it out for a week. I think it's a 7-day, you know, contest. Now, maybe people come in there. Maybe people feel loyal to Keir and think that they should take on that position, even if they think they can't win. Maybe there are people within Labour who think, frankly, we don't want to have a Kamala Harris situation whereby it's a coronation or a baptism that ends up not being very healthy for the party. So they stand anyway to try and air some ideas. That is possible, but the number that Burnham's team are suggesting he has makes it feel like this could actually end up being a coronation. And so what have you got? You've got a week between Tuesday and the following Tuesday where we see if people come forward, but actually they decide not to because they don't think they can beat him. And frankly, they prefer to be asking him for bigger and better jobs in any future cabinet. And then by next Wednesday, July the 1st, he could be on his way to the palace. I mean, this is a scenario in which things are super expedited and things happen really, really quickly. Now, we have not heard publicly from Keir Starmer that he is stepping down. We have not heard publicly from Keir Starmer that he's not prepared to run. We have not heard from Wes Streeting that he wouldn't challenge Andy Burnham. So we frankly, at the moment, are waiting to see, come Monday morning, which trajectory is followed. But there are pretty solid signs. You know, some of the sort of reporting that's coming out tonight suggests that Starmer has quietly kind of understood what lies ahead of him. And I guess then we're just talking about whether it's a kind of long departure. Mm. You know, is it a September departure? I can't see how that's possible now, because as soon as you have the sort of spectre of an imminently departing PM, then everything stops working. You know, you don't have decisions being made. You don't have the civil service putting through sort of budgets. You don't have projects being signed off. You stop government from working. Are we really prepared to do that for the next, 2 months, 3 months? So I think there is also a good argument to say that if you want something that is least disruptive, you do it quickly. Now, that's probably not very satisfying to Keir Starmer. It's probably not very satisfying to those around him. It's probably quite a big leap for Burnham to make himself, right? But I can also see that if the ultimate goal is to have the smoothest, less disruptive transfer of power, then maybe something quicker is better.
Yeah, and it certainly seems that reactions to extended internal leadership contests within the UK have not been popular with the public. Chris has texted in to say he feels sorry for Larry the Cat, who lives at 10 Downing Street with so many owners, although Larry might be the only person who's, or the only creature whose position is secure. You did allude, Emily, to machinations about who stays and who goes. Is there much known about jockeying for cabinet positions, or indeed promises from the Burnham camp about who might take the most critical ministries in a Burnham administration?
Look, the critical ministry is going to be the role of Chancellor. I am sensing, as things stand tonight, that if Burnham is sworn in within the next week or so, he would not want to keep on Rachel Reeves, who is very tightly allied with Keir Starmer, who has been behind some of the most controversial decisions of the last couple of years. So the question then is, who does Burnham trust? We know that he's getting a lot of advice from Lord Jim O'Neill, who is, you know, a city man himself, understands the markets, understands the economy pretty well. And he is advising Burnham on the kind of people, the kind of roles he needs to take. I think there is a sense that Ed Miliband, who would once have jockeyed very hard for that role as Chancellor, might not be the most popular choice for Burnham, because it feels like he would maybe pull him to the left. Ed Miliband, who's been very much behind climate sort of net zero policies, who's been very much behind green policies, might not be the person that Burnham needs at his side if he's, you know, starting out right now. I heard last week, I mean, way before the Makerfield result was even being fought, let alone had come through, that Shabana Mahmood and Andy Burnham had reached some sort of agreement if he got through. Now, look, you know, that was told to me by somebody who was pretty sure of what they were sort of seeing on their own phone. That could all have changed in the last week. We know that Shabana Mahmood publicly has said she wants to stay at the Home Office, where she's doing an extraordinarily good job, frankly, in terms of curbing some of the illegal and the legal migration figures. So she might want to stay there and get the job done. And there is still Wes Streeting, who I think has pitched himself pretty clearly, pretty vocally as a potential chancellor. But would Andy Burnham want somebody who, you know, is a sort of a directly in his line of sight competitor? Yes. Would he want him so close? Would he want him in the next door house? Or, you know, maybe where Streeting gets, you know, foreign. Isn't that what you do? You sort of, you
certainly the way it worked in Australia.
Fantastic job. Yeah, exactly. I'll send you as far away as I can.
Yeah, although even then it wasn't effective in terms of preventing future leadership problems. So that might be something that Andy Burnham could take into account.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of sort of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know.
Indeed.
Or Theresa May did the same to Boris Johnson. It's like, you know, here, go and get some air miles. Get on a plane. Just don't let me see you in any of the regions that I'm going to be in the next few weeks.
Yes,
look,
indeed.
I don't think we know. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Shabana Mahmood stepped into that role. I could see that. I mean, there's a lot of argument for having I think there's a lot of argument for keeping Shabana Mahmood in a job that she's clearly very good at. But personally, I would say, you know, pulling her into that role wouldn't be stupid. I think Jim O'Neill could theoretically do that job himself from the Lords, but Andy Burnham has said he's going to abolish the Lords. So it makes it pretty hard to bring in somebody, you know, who's a kind of a top flyer there. I mean, we're probably getting ahead of ourselves this, but I guess, I mean, the reason why this is an important part of the conversation is because if he wants to stop any challenges, then presumably the offer of a really nice job makes that slightly easier.
Well, no doubt the internal and machinations will be going full force, but it does increasingly seem like things are going to move quickly.
Emily, we'll be awake.
Yes, yeah. Emily Maidless, thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Extra, and we'll keep an eye out for the next emergency podcast of the Newsagents coming soon.
Thanks for having me.
That's Emily Maidless, co-host of the Daily News and Politics UK podcast, The Newsagents, and on Sunday Extra, it is just short of 20 minutes past 8.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.